I see now that we have our next guest on the phone lines here, so we're going to get to this, and then we're going to take our next break. We've got on the phone lines here somebody who really has done an awful lot through the performing arts over time. He's participated as a musician. He's done some theater work, moving into film, ultimately TV, and really getting to the crowning point here. You always hope that somebody like this that's had the kind of career that he's had and worked as hard as he had would find that crowning moment. And subsequently, he did so. From 1999 to 2007, he was Uncle Junior on The Sopranos and really became a pop culture icon in that way. On the phone lines with us here, Dominic Chianese. We're so happy to have him on. Dominic, welcome to the FDH Lounge, sir. It's great to have you on tonight. How are you?
I'm thrilled to be on, Rick. Really, really happy to talk about whatever people want to ask me about. I'm happy to be on the show.
I was thrilled and amazed when our senior producer, Steve Servillo, I mean, he's a master networker, and he meets a lot of people all the time, but when he got in touch with you, and I understand that you've had the pleasure of dining with Steve, who's a real character in his own right, and I'm so happy that he made your acquaintance and was able to book this for us.
What I love about New York is that there are a lot of people in it, and you're going to meet some very, very interesting people, and Steve is one of them, so I'm happy. Good night, Freddie. And I'm here at the Friars Club tonight, by the way. Let me give a plug to the Friars
Yes.
Club. It's a wonderful club. I'm honored to be a member of this 104-year-old entertainment club. And good night, Rick. I'm saying good night to people as we're talking.
Sure.
I happen to be at the club tonight. And it's really about, well, I love New York, too. So anybody has questions that they want to ask?
Absolutely.
Good night, Peter.
We can definitely entertain that. You know what? While we're giving plugs, we generally finish with plugs, but why don't we lead with them here tonight? I want to plug something you're very much involved in, and I will say this as somebody, and I don't like to get into to too much personal stuff on the show, but I'll do so if it helps in the form of telling a story or making a point. I've got a situation right now where my grandmother is in a nursing home, and I'm pretty much the primary person responsible
for
stuff with her. So I see on a day-to-day basis what it's like for people. I have in the past, but I've never been the person primarily involved. So this Joy Through Art Foundation you have, we've linked to it on the show guide here tonight. All I can say is God bless you for that, because anything that really helps bring light and purpose to these people is just a tremendously blessed thing.
Well, I believe that if you have the opportunity and you've been blessed like I have in life, you have to give back and make the world a little better than when you came in. And for many years, back in the old days, you know, the old people stayed with the families. Today, many elderly people are in nursing homes, and they need attention besides their physical needs. They have a real need for somebody to come and talk to them, somebody to come and entertain them, somebody to come and ask them about their wisdom that they want to give out, you know. And where's your grandma now? Where is she? Which nursing home?
She's in a facility here in the greater Cleveland area. She unfortunately got to a point where she had a series of intestinal illnesses all at once. She's 95, but she was hanging in pretty good prior to that. Long story short, it just pretty much sapped her. She's been bedridden. She needs 24-hour care. And probably doesn't have, you know, tremendously long to go, quite frankly. But it's a tough situation, you know. So when Steve mentioned you were doing this, I just thought, geez, you know, on top of everything else he's done, God bless this guy for the work that he's doing now.
Well, the work we do is to send people to talk to them and just make, the important thing is that they go on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important thing. They are committed to go. We have two people working now for 15 months, and we're structuring the nonprofit so that we can make some money and get more people to go out there and visit, because they need the attention. The nursing homes, God bless them all, they take care of them physically, but they don't have the means or the money to attend to their emotional and spiritual needs. Not, you know, when I say spiritual, I mean just talking about the wisdom that's in all these old folks.
Sure.
And I'm an old guy myself, you know, and I know what it's like. And I worked in nursing homes. This comes from my own experience with working in nursing homes as an entertainer on the staff at the nursing home. all through the 80s, I went through this, and it changed my life when I realized how important this work is. And I said, someday, if I became famous, if I became well-known enough to establish a foundation, and it happened with The Sopranos, I want to give back now, and I want to ask people to help us send the right kind of artists and entertainers into the nursing homes on a regular basis, Rick. That's the thing, a regular basis. We pay them to go there on a regular basis. And they become like family to the residents. And I guess you can hear the passion in my voice, because that's what I want to do now.
Absolutely. Oh, it's great work. And I know we've only got you for a limited window here tonight. So among the things that I want to hit, I want to get into a little bit of your crowning role there as Uncle Junior with The Sopranos. But leading up to that, I'm just curious, what were some of the other parts of your career that were your favorites? There were some things here. I know the different movies that you were in with Al Pacino, whether it be Godfather Part II or Dog Day Afternoon. I mean, you were in some real classics there, of getting to do some of the different Broadway things here,
right?
East Side, West Side. What are the things that jump out to you the most leading up to your time as Uncle Junior?
Well, the point is that before I got to Uncle Junior, before I auditioned the part and got the part, I had to survive in a business. And when you mentioned The Godfather and Al Pacino, you're talking about a very generous man. And Al would probably don't want me to talk about it, but he was very instrumental in getting me to meet producers. He introduced me to people like Sidney Lumet, the people who were in regional theaters. You know, he believed in me. And you can't do it without your friends, you know. And when you meet a great artist like Al is, you're very excited about that, and you really need help from your friends. You can't do it alone, especially as an actor in this world. You have to have support from people who believe in your talent, and talent's not created. You can't create talent. Some people were born actors, but you need help in developing your craft. And Al was he is a great craftsman, and he helped me grow as an artist, and I'm eternally grateful to him for that. So by the time I auditioned for Uncle Junior, Rick, you know, David Chase was there, and he heard me play the part, and he said, "That's it, that's Uncle Junior," and I got the part. So, but it took a lifetime of preparation. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, sure. Oh, there had to be so much that was leading up to that. By the way, and as far as, and it's been very well noted over time, the lasting relationships that were formed on that show. I don't know if you've gotten to hear much about this movie or see it. I just saw the one, your old on-screen sidekick as Bobby Bacala, Steve Sharipa, Kill the Irishman, set in my native Cleveland. I went to go see it. This was one of the cities where it opened a little bit wider. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but Steve was terrific, and it was a great movie.
Which movie is this?
Kill the Irishman. Have you heard anything about that?
Which one?
Kill the Irishman. It was the one that Danny Green story.
I haven't seen it yet. I want to, definitely, though.
Oh, I recommend it so highly.
There's some great actors in it. Yeah, I will. I'm sure I will see that one.
Oh. Great yeah. Movie, certainly. But of all the great people you got to work with on the show and playing that part, I'd like to ask you, because I have a feeling your answer is going to be a little bit different. When we had on Ziggy cartoonist Tom Wilson on the show, we were talking about characters. He's fascinated by the Ziggy character and characters in general. And he spoke in such glowing terms of the Ziggy character that he actually inherited from his father and has done some things with here. I imagine for somebody like you, it's got to be a little bit more nuanced with the character that you embodied all that time. I'm sure you can see the good side and some of the things with Uncle Junior and some of the things that he did, but I imagine it's got to be a much more nuanced view to inhabit a character like that, correct?
You have to. Every actor, if he or she is considering himself an artist, must bring something of themselves into the role. You know, you use your own images. And a character like Uncle Junior, being from New Jersey, is not that far from a guy from the Bronx, as far as the speech patterns and things like that. So you do use your own experience. And I found a role that I could really identify with as far as that goes. I'm the right age. He was Italian descent, actually Neapolitan. You know, David made all the Sopranos Neapolitans. That's why they lived. That's why they came from Avellino, and that's important too. David himself is a Neapolitan. We use Neapolitan words, things that I could identify and bring some of myself into the situation of the character. But the actual development of the theory itself comes, it's very, very much involved with the Stanislavski system of acting, which is not a formula for great acting, but it is. It is I hate to use the word method because the method is different to everybody, but there is an approach to acting that Stanislavski, the great Russian director back in 1920s, knew that actors must practice in order to bring something to the role that was very, very believable. And it's really the Stanislavski system. It's a system. It's an approach to acting. He died before he finished the whole program, but he also knew that talent can be originated in a person. Not originated. If you have the talent already, talent can be enforced and grow if you follow certain patterns of behavior, certain ways of thinking, certain ways of applying images from your own personal history. You see, so, but that's a talent. You have to have the talent, just like a piano player. But the piano player must rehearse before he can play Mozart and Beethoven. So, but you have to have the right technique, and that technique takes a lot of practice. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, this is amazing stuff, certainly, Dominic. Last question we got for you here, just to follow up on what you were talking about. I'm curious, again, for those of us that have never seen the process from the inside, to what extent, as you're speaking with David Chase or somebody else involved like this, any of the other writers, to what extent are you participating in the development of the character and possibly giving your input as to, gee, maybe, do you suppose he might do this in this situation? How does the evolution of a character
I would say it's a 50-50 proposition. Mm-hmm. What happens is that they write the material, mm-hmm. and you interpret it. But when you bring something that you know is right for the character, they get very excited and they write even more for you because they realize you know the character. By that time, you know the character, and they listen to you, and they hear you, and they hear the voice. And I honestly can say that Uncle Junior was really a highlight because I could bring something of myself into it that made the character interesting, made him three-dimensional, made him real, and made him believable. So that's the job. You make it believable when you can bring something to the character that fits the circumstances of the play. It's really a play. Shakespeare said it. The play's a thing. So without the writers, you don't have it. You can be the greatest actor in the world. If you get lousy material, there's only a certain amount of impact you're going to have. But when you get great writing, like Shakespeare, I've done many Shakespeare plays, and you bring your talent to that, then you got the audience in the palm of your hand, and they'll believe everything you say, and they'll react accordingly.
Oh, this is wonderful stuff, Dominic. These are great insights here. I can tell you what, to tie it full circle from where we started here tonight when we were talking about everything involved with Joy Through Art and everything else like that, clearly this is a thing of a nice guy finishing first here, you know, going through, paying your dues, having a nice career and going along and busting through into the mainstream in a way that you clearly really, really deserved. I mean, God bless you for the great work that you're still doing, and we'd love to have you back on to catch up with you some more, sir.
Ricky, I want to come to the studio. Your studio in New York?
Unfortunately, we're not that close. We are in the greater Cleveland area, but if you're ever in flyover company,
my daughter lives
Dominic.
She lives near, what can I put it? She's not that far from Cleveland, you know, not that far from Euclid.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's in Ohio, so I'll
really?
Come. Yeah.
Wonderful.
What, so I'll come out there, and then I'll come to the studio.
Oh, let's book this. Yeah, we'll have Steve set this up here. Steve is probably already banging out an email to you as he's listening now. So,
Tell Steve to send me the email, and I'll give him my daughter's address. And I just saw them from my birthday. They were here from Ohio, but they live right not that far from Cleveland. I would say maybe 40 miles, if that, not even.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Well, Dominic, we love having great conversations on this show and telling stories and everything like that. And this was I was really looking forward to this, and it was just awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay,
we'll
Rick,
do it again in person.
Back to the prize. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you, Dominic. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick.
Great. Have a great night, sir.
Tell Steve to send me an email.
We'll do that. Thank you.
All right, from the
Friars Club here tonight, Dominic Chianese, a.k.a. Uncle Junior on The Sopranos.